A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Misty, and this is Lattes and Legends. Good morning. Hi, it's Saturday morning. Why am I so cheerful? I have a delicious coffee, and I'm enjoying this special sweet cream oat milk creamer someone turned me on to, and Yeah, I love it. It's great. Never thought I was an oat milk kind of girl. Guess I am. So, yes. Hi. Happy weekend. Let's talk about some things going on in life and whatnot. This morning I woke up, and sometimes I just have to have that background noise on to work, to research, all those things, and I'm flipping through. And I just listened to the podcast, I Saw What You Did. And I don't know if anyone listens to it. I'm obsessed with it. I love the girls who host it. And they were talking about Poltergeist. And as I was flipping through channels or apps, I guess, I see that Poltergeist is listed on Max. So I click it. I'm thinking, oh, this will be a rewatch for me because I haven't seen this movie in so long. Come to find out, it's the remake. So I guess I was unaware that there was a remake. I know. I live under a rock. But then I started watching it, and I haven't quite developed an opinion yet. It is clearly paused right now because I need to record this podcast. So I'll let you know how that works out for me. Anyway, let's dive in to season 8. This will be episode 2 of season 8 because guess what? I had to do a do-over last week because I took almost a year off. So if this is your first time listening, hello. If not, welcome back. It's time to take a sip of your coffee. So today's episode, keeping with the most haunted houses in the world, is going to feature the Lizzie Borden house. And this is one I've kind of avoided talking about just because there's so much about the story of Lizzie Borden and, you know, all the myths and legends. But I have an urban legend podcast, so Lizzie Borden is bound to come up, right? And the other is the Sally House. So sources for both of these can be found in the show notes. And that is on Acast, although you can listen anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Yes, yes, yes. I also wanted to mention that from last week, I got some emails and texts and messages and whatnot about the museum that I went to when I was visiting my family in December. And so if you are one of those people that messaged asking me where it was and all that, I have taken care of that. And I told you where it was in the messages / emails you sent to me. Yeah, I think I'm going to try and get some research done on that museum, and perhaps it will be in a future episode. All right, so let's talk about the Lizzie Borden house. So first, you can't talk about the Lizzie Borden house until you talk about Lizzie Borden. Yes, that is true. So she was born in 1860 in Fall River, Massachusetts. 3 years after that, her biological mother, Sarah, died. And then 3 years after that, her father decided to remarry, and this woman's name was Abby. Abby was not liked at all by Lizzie. She, from the rumors and the tales and everything, it seemed like Abby married Andrew Borden for money, and Lizzie definitely believed that as well. So Andrew, he was a developer in Fall River, and for being a developer in 1860, I mean, he had a lot of money. Let's just be honest. I don't have his income in front of me, but it's clear just from all the history and whatnot that he was very well known for being rich. Let's just put it like that. So Lizzie grew up in this community, and she was a very upstanding member of the community. A lot of people think it was just because she was rich, but she really got into helping at the church and even helping the poor. When she got older, she and her sister Emily really started to dislike Abby. They felt pressure to get married in the society, and when they didn't, there was a lot of negative attention thrown on the family. Andrew, he acted out in a way that a father shouldn't act out. He would kill Lizzie's pet pigeons. So, you know, that's always a very nice thing to do, is, you know, kill your child's pets. Oh, Andrew, you're not very nice. So, also, Andrew, he would give Abby land grants and all this money, and he would give it to her family. Meanwhile, Lizzie and her sister Emily were getting nothing other than just living at the house with them. And so, this made them very, very upset. Let's fast forward to the night in August in 1892. So at this point, all of the Bordens were sick, and so they had to stay in the house for a few days just to, you know, kind of quarantine themselves. I'm not sure what kind of sick they were, but, you know, back then people didn't take any chances. No one went out when they were sick. Well, what a concept. Anyway, around 10:30 a.m., Abby felt like she was alone, and so she decided she had enough energy to, like, go upstairs and clean the guest room, make the bed. Oh. So as she was cleaning the guest room, she heard a creak in the floor. And that apparently is when she saw the killer. They had something in the air holding it high, and the light just caught it right. And it turned out it was a small hatchet. Now this story is where things get a little murky. So the rumor is that Lizzie was so mad, she was filled with rage, that she hacked up her mother, her stepmother, and her father. Yeah. This trial is known as being one of the most sensationalized in the courtroom in America ever. There were hundreds of people that came to Fall River to attend the trial to find out what really went on. Yeah, and it turns out that a lot of people thought Lizzie was acquitted because she was rich, because her dad was rich. After her trial, Lizzie actually went back to the house to live, and she lived there pretty much anonymously. Like, she never went out. She kind of lived as a hermit. So she lived there until she died, and eventually the Lizzie Borden house got turned into a bed and breakfast. If you are into this story or hauntings, anything like that, you can go stay at the Lizzie Borden house. And there's so much information on how it is set up as a museum now, how it's a B&B, like all these things. But let's talk about like the different haunts that are in the house. So many people that have stayed here see an older woman just kind of wandering around the house. Some people think it's a maid, and they will be like, good morning, hi, you know, I need towels in room two. But when they do this, suddenly she's gone. So it turns out plenty of people think that's Abby, and she's just doing the chores that she did in the house and even going to the guest room before she met her death with the hatchet. Yes. Mm-hmm. So visitors that were sleeping in the guest room have felt the bed sheets get tight around them. Oof. They hear brushing, and they can almost feel hands slide across their covers. Yeah. Some think this is Abby just straightening the blankets and the sheets. And others just, they're like, I don't know what this is. Yeah. That's so creepy. Yeah. Some say they hear a woman crying on the other side of the wall. Mm-hmm. Others think that that Abby is trying to tell them something from beyond. There's just a lot of speculation about the ghosts in this house, but for the most part, it seems like it's just Abby, and it doesn't seem that she's malicious. She's just trying to make the beds neat and tidy. There are others that have stayed here that think Lizzie haunts the house as well. Some people have stayed here and they wake up around 3 a.m. What's 3 a.m., kids? Oh, yes, the witching hour. So one woman that stayed here woke up at 3 a.m. and she was very confused. And at first she was like, oh, it's my first night here. I mean, don't we all get confused when we're staying at a new place, hotel? And you're like, am I home? Like, where am I? So this woman looks around. And she's like, oh, okay, I know where I am. It's 3 a.m. It's fine. I'll go back to sleep. But then she saw some movement in the room where she was sleeping. Mm-hmm. She saw a female figure, a bit smaller in stature, slowly moving around in her room. And from the way she described her, many people think that was Lizzie's figure. And so it turns out that maybe Abby and Lizzie both are in the house. So this is the story of the Lizzie Borden house. If you decide you would like to stay there, again, I think one of the links in the show notes is a way to reserve your stay in the Lizzie Borden house. All right, everybody, take a sip of your water and chase it with coffee. All right, as I've started to record this, I've started to get some sniffles, so I apologize if that is coming through. Not sure where that's coming from. Hopefully it is nothing. All right, so next up, we're going to move ourselves to Kansas. Atchison, Kansas, to be exact, to a place called the Sally House. So the Sally House, little history, was built in the 1800s. Three bedroom, two bath. It's nothing fancy, not a mansion by any means. It has a basement. It was built for a man named Michael Finney and his family, and they lived in the house until 1947. Four members of the Finney family died in the house because of natural causes, and so natural causes. Good. Okay. We're good. At least it wasn't, you know, something, some terrible acts. But, you know, sometimes when people die in a house, they like to stay there. And so this could be the start of a haunting. So not only did the Finney family live here, there have been multiple families that have lived here as well. So let's talk about some of the spookiness, shall we? Yeah. So this house has been called one of the most haunted houses in America. It has something to do with rumors about a little girl named Sally and how she died because a surgeon botched her surgery right inside this house. Yikes. 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 This kind of reminds me of a little American Horror Story episode. Anyway, the house is located on 508 North 2nd Street. If you want to go hang out there. And there's been lots of people that live there. Apparently, this little girl, Sally, had surgery to remove her appendix. Okay. This story wasn't really popular until about the 1990s. The owners of the house then were Deborah and Tony Pickman. And they started seeing some strange stuff going on. This strange spirit. Person, entity, would attack Tony. They would hear voices coming out of nowhere that they just couldn't explain. And candles would light themselves. Ooh, yikes. So after the Pickmans decided to get some help, a lot more paranormal activity began to happen. Objects were moving on their own. Shadow people were everywhere. Apparitions, disembodied voices, attacks on those who lived here. All of that was going down. And this house got a lot of media coverage for like probably the last 20 years. It's been on Ghost Adventures, Unexplained Mysteries, and the show called A Haunting, which I've really started to watch that. Maybe I should backtrack to the Sally House. Write that down. So the activity became so severe and so crazy that a lot of people thought that it was demonic activity. Others thought that the Sally House has become a portal. So yeah. No matter what, it is very, very, very haunted from what paranormal experts and the Pickmans have seen. So, if you visit this house, which, guess what? You can visit, and you can also stay here. Yes, so the theme of today's show is haunted houses that you can sleep in for a charge. I think I looked up the Lizzie Borden house, and I think it's like $250 a night. And the Sally house apparently is $125, $150 a night? Yeah. Yeah. There are some strict house rules. You have to be 18. You have to bring your own sleeping bags, blankets, and pillows. Yeah. My favorite, I believe, is that you can't go into the basement because of safety concerns. And there's some other notices. You are not allowed to have candles in the house. You cannot sleep in the beds in the house. You cannot attempt to cleanse the house. No Ouija boards or seances. Yeah, so clearly the owners of the house do know that it is a hotbed for that kind of thing. And so if you decide you want to stay there, bring all your camping gear and buckle up because it seems like it is kind of a doozy. Yeah. I made this one short and sweet just because I have a million things to do today and it's sunny out and I'm going to a festival. And yeah, you guys should get outside too. Why are you even listening? Just kidding. So I hope everyone has a beautiful weekend, and I will be back next week with two more haunted houses, and perhaps I'll have a little bit of a longer episode. We shall see. Have a beautiful day, everybody, and stay spooky or something. I don't know where I'm going with that. Anyway, have a great day.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.